Our Bible reading for this Christ the King Sunday comes from the prophet Isaiah. Actually, Isaiah spans so many years. There were more than one writer that brought the content of the book of Isaiah to us. But in the first part of Isaiah, we have a prophet who is living in the southern kingdom called to speak a word for God's people. And I'm going to read a passage from Isaiah 5 and then skip a few chapters to Isaiah 11. As Scott Costello said at the first service, what unites these passages is God's love. Let me sing for my beloved a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He put a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And then from chapter 11, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. I'm kind of excited today because tonight Ken is going to take me to see Beautiful over in Minneapolis. It's the musical about Carole King. And I don't know if the rest of you even know who that is, but Carole King was kind of an idol of mine growing up. I used to sing along to all her songs. If you put on any music from her album, Tapestry, I would know every word. But I really didn't know much about Carole King, so I'm looking forward to this musical that's supposed to be a bit of a biography, life story, or autobiography. But Chris Hewitt, theater and movie critic, wrote an article that was published about a week ago, and he shared some information I didn't know. Carole King had married one of her songwriting partners, Jeff Goffin, but they ended up divorced because of his infidelity. And so I'm thinking Carole King didn't live as beautiful a life as I imagined when I was a teenager rocking out to her songs. Well, Chris Hewitt in the article went on to say that you can tell a lot about a songwriter by her songs, and he used Carole King's song, One Fine Day, as an example. That's a song that opens up with the brightest, smiliest chords, so you're absolutely certain it's a really happy song until you really listen to the words and realize it's all about one fine day, you're gonna want me as your girl, even though right now you're too busy running around with other girls to know what a treasure I am. Funny how so many love songs aren't really about being loved. They're about unrequited love. They're about the kind of love that we pour out that doesn't get returned to us. I'd like to have you listen to another example of a more contemporary love song. Eric's going to play just a couple of stanzas for you so you'll see what I mean. Listen to this. This is Say Something by A Great Big World.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you. Anywhere I would have followed you. Swallow my pride. You're the one that I love, and I'm saying goodbye.
Love songs often have a twist that lead you to feel the pain of that unrequited love. I think that's why love songs speak to us so powerfully. That's something most of us know something about. Isaiah certainly did. He used the popularity of love songs to tell a story. Yes, even 2,000 years ago, there was a fascination and appreciation for a good love song, and so he used the genre of love song to bring a message to the people from God. Isaiah was a contemporary of Hosea, the one we met last week, but while Hosea was a prophet in the north in Israel, Isaiah was a prophet in the southern territory of Judah, where things actually were pretty much the same as they were in Israel, only the two territories are now fighting and they have different kings. Isaiah actually had a scathing indictment that he needed to bring to the people, and yet he crafts it as a love song to hook their attention. The people must have been eager to hear Isaiah as he started to sing this love song for his beloved. As the song unfolded, the people would have gotten caught up in the story. They learned that the lover had invested all that he had in a vineyard, planted carefully with choice vines on a fertile hill with rich, well-cultivated soil, where it could soak up that marvelous Mediterranean sunshine, in an area that the lover himself had cleared from stones, walling it off from the wind and the elements with a fine hedge to protect it, building a tower in the center, sparing no expense so that he could keep watch and prevent anything or anyone from harming the vines so that they could grow ripe and lush, ripening until they were absolutely bursting with juice. And so he built the wine press ready for the harvest. Yet with all the care that he had lavished on that vineyard at harvest time, he was sorely disappointed. Instead of a crop of lush, juicy grapes, there were only small, sour grapes that were good for nothing. Probably even the birds wouldn't want to eat them. So the lover wants to take the vineyard to court and asks the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Judah to judge between him and his vineyard. Who didn't hold up whose end of the bargain, the vine grower wants to know? What more was there to do for my vineyard than what I have already done? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? The lover is jilted. And now the lover is righteously angry. He did his part, she didn't do her part. And just like every other love song, the spurned lover says, I'm giving up on you. It's breaking my heart, but I'm giving up on you. So no more hedge. Let the varmints and the thieves trample you underfoot. No more hoeing and pruning. Let the briars and the thorns have their way with you. And why should the clouds waste rain on you? Can you imagine the crowd listening to Isaiah has been so hooked by the song? They're starting to feel the lover's pain, and they're starting to feel that indignation in the pit of their stomachs. How dare she? And then Isaiah tells them who the lovers are. The jilted vine grower, that's God. And the beloved vineyard, well, folks, that's you. That's Israel. Have you ever been listening to a love song about love gone bad and wondered if God could sing that song about you? Or about us? It's too late, baby, now. It's too late. I really did think we could make it. I've tried. But I have died, and I just can't take it. As we've been about the work of developing some strategic plans for Redeemer, we've talked quite extensively about the incredible resources at our disposal. Look at this absolutely lovely facility. Turn around and look at all of the incredibly capable people who are all around you here. And while you're doing that, notice the empty seats that might be filled by our invitations. Think about the size of our collective budget. How much has been gifted to us? We are a vineyard too, that God has been tending and nurturing for over 50 years. I've been praying, and I hope you will pray too, that we will be faithful to our God in the way we respond to the extravagant nurture that we've received. Think about, what does God ask of us? That we bear luscious fruit? Perhaps. But what does luscious fruit look like in a community like ours? You'll be able to find out a little bit when we have our strategic planning forum on December 13th, some of the strategic planning team members are going to give you some kind of bird's eye view of some of the things that have been developing in our conversations. But one thing is certain, of all the faith traditions in the world, we understand that God is a lover and that God desires to grow lovers. Often to love the ones that the rest of the world chooses not to love. The poor, the elderly, the disabled, the Muslim, maybe these days, the refugee. The list is long, friends. And yet we know that there is no length to which God will not go in order to provide us everything we need in order to love lavishly. Even when we squander all that's been lavished on us, God will not, God cannot give up on us. Even now, as we prepare for the coming of Advent, we know that salvation will come. We know it, but we know that it is not going to come through human intervention. It's going to come through divine action. We know that God can grow life and love out of the most unexpected places. Out of the stump of Jesse, Hezekiah, and eventually Jesus came to lead the people in a new direction. Even stumps that appear to have absolutely no life at all left in them, even places left waste by enormous loss or horrible human behavior like racism and terrorism, they're not exempt from the power of God's incredible gardening skill. In the face of overwhelming difficulty, or declining revenue, or even institutional evil, we may be tempted to run away and give up hope, but ours is not to fear for the future. Our faith calls us to live boldly and courageously in the hope that is born of knowing our God, and knowing that God pours God's Spirit into the world through Christ and through us to bring about new life. I'd like to close with another love song, and while we listen to the words of this song, I'd like you to use the time for a little meditation, just a little prayer time, you and God, where maybe you turn to God and say, God, what would you like to do with me, in me, through me? Where would you like to lead me? Where would you like to lead us? And ask God to help you where to see where the green shoots are growing out of the stump that someone else leveled. Let's listen and pray.
Love, I have waited for you, and love, I was wounded for you. Won't you look into my eyes through the pain and through your pride and find I am true? You're the one I can't deny, and I'll never leave your side. I gave my life for you. So what are you waiting for? Well, on and on we go. Come love, take my hand. On and on we go. Time and time again. On and on we go. Back to where this all began. Come love, take my hand. Life is waiting for you, and life I have given to you. Well, tell me, what else can I do? What more have I left to prove that I all begin. Oh, come, love, take my hand. Oh, come, love, take my hand.
Amen.